First, it's Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Smith Thompson Home Security and Tylock George Laser Eye Care.
Thank you so much, Craig. We have a special guest in the corner today. Joining us on the phone right now is John Grisham, best-selling author, and he's the author of the new novel, Sully, which actually involves sports. It's the sport of basketball. John, thanks for being with us.
How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. I have Mississippi ties, so I've always, of course, followed your career. You and Willie Morris and Eudora Welty and, of course, Faulkner, and John Grisham's another huge name in Mississippi literature, so it's a big thrill to be speaking with you.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, do you still keep a place in Mississippi, or are you a Virginia guy now?
You know, we moved here 27 years ago to Charlottesville with a plan to live for 1 year and then go back to Oxford, Mississippi, our home. And 1 year became two and three, and now it's 27. We kept our house there in Oxford for a long time and used it less and less. And we finally gave it to Ole Miss. We have a writer's program at Ole Miss. And so we gave it to Ole Miss for them to use to house the visiting writer every year. So it's still getting some literary use.
Oh, that's good. And your place in Virginia, didn't you build some? I know you're a huge baseball fan. You had baseball aspirations when you were young, and you follow the game. Your son played. And didn't you build a huge baseball complex next to your home in Virginia?
Yeah, we moved here in 94, and my son was 11. And he had his final year of Little League coming up, and I'd coached him through from the age of six all the way up, and that was very much a part of our family life, was Little League baseball. And we bought an old house 10 miles south of Charlottesville in an area that's very remote. That's why we like it. But there were no baseball fields around here, and the kids weren't playing baseball. And I kind of got ticked off, and so I built a Little League complex with four fields just around the corner from our house. And then we've added three fields to it. So we have a total of six fields plus T-ball. And each year we have between 400 and 500 kids in the ballpark. And the ballpark is now 26 years old, and it's a special place.
And I bet you it's a money pit, too, isn't it? Well, that upkeep.
It's a money pit. It's there's a reason I write two books every year. It's to fund Little League baseball in Central Virginia. I'd love to give it to the county, but they can't keep it up, and so it's mine. I get to be, when you own the ballpark, you get to be the commissioner for life. So I'm the Little League commissioner.
Yeah. Why would the county want to take it from you when you're paying the cost of upkeep right now? They're getting the benefit of it already.
That's exactly what the county said. That's exactly what they said. So I'm stuck with it.
We're visiting with John Grisham, the author. He has a new novel out called Sully, and it deals with not baseball, but basketball. And you've written, I think, is this your third sports-related book?
Fourth. The first two were football novels, Bleachers and Playing for Pizza. About 10 years ago, I published Calico Joe, my first baseball novel. And over the years, I've always wanted to write a basketball novel. And we're big college basketball fans and love the game and go to a lot of games. And so I have to wait for the story to come along. It took a long time for this story to kind of percolate and come to the surface. And a year ago, when March Madness was canceled, it was a shock for all of us. And I was in a bar having a beer with a couple of buddies, and we were bickering over who's number one seed and who's number two and the brackets and all this. And on the screen, they flashed, March Madness canceled. And we were shocked. That's illegal. You can't cancel March Madness. That's the biggest sporting event in America. And like all sports fans, we took it pretty hard. And at that point, I said, this pandemic must be getting pretty serious if we're going to cancel March Madness. So I had to have a basketball fix, so I started writing Sully.
And what's interesting about it is you mentioned, of course, March Madness being the biggest sporting event in America outside of the Super Bowl, or even rivaling the Super Bowl with as much participation as you get in office brackets and all of that. But yet, Sully, your basketball book, involves somebody from another country, a kid from the Sudan who plays. Yeah. So tell us the inspiration of how you get that worked into your idea for a basketball novel.
Well, as writers, all we do is steal ideas. We see something and we take it and we, you know, we redo it. And but you have to be inspired by something. And I was inspired by a magazine article I read 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was online, about a team from South Sudan, 17-year-old kids who came to a summer showcase tournament here in the U.S. And the kids are—they play teams from all over the world, and these big tournaments happen all the time in the U.S. in the summertime. And the kids, especially the foreign kids, love it because it's their dream come true to play in front of American college coaches, hopefully get recruited, and hopefully get to play collegiately and then professionally here in the NBA. And as you know, there have been some great NBA stars from Africa. And so the kid Suli is—the kid's nickname is Suli. He comes here with his team, and while they are playing in the tournament, some terrible things happen back home at South Sudan, and his family is dispersed. His home is burned. It's a lot of atrocities, and I go into that in the book. And Suli loses contact with his family. He doesn't know if they're alive or where they are, and they become refugees roaming around the countryside in South Sudan looking for food, water, and shelter, and that's not unusual. And so he doesn't know where they are. They assume he's in the U.S., but they know he can't come home. And so the book goes back and forth between Suli here becoming a basketball player and what's happening to his family back then. Because of his coach, who has some friends and whatever, he gets a scholarship offer to a small school in North Carolina, North Carolina Central, the other school in Durham. And so Suli shows up on the campus to play basketball at Central, and it's a story of his development as a player, a person, a student, but also his concerns, his desperate search to find what happened to his family. And as he is going through the fall semester, he's not going to play. He's going to be a redshirt freshman. He's not that good. He was not recruited by a lot of by any coaches, really. And so he develops as a player, as an athlete. He is growing at an alarming rate. When we meet him, he's 6'2". By the time he's playing basketball, he's 6'8". He spends all his time in the gym pumping iron. He's turned into quite a physical specimen. He can jump over the backboard. You know, all the stuff that you could, as fiction writers, we can create all this stuff. And Suli becomes a phenom, an incredible basketball player, and takes Central to the Final Four, and that's the story.
Well, I started the book this week, and as are all of your books, they're always page turners, and you're so good at doing that and learning how to pace a book. How do you write a book? Do you start not knowing where you're going to end, like some writers do? I think Stephen King does that, or are you an outliner to where you have to know where it goes in order to know how to get there?
It's an extensive outline. I have to plan the whole thing. I don't start writing a book until I've planned the story and I know the ending. And if you know the ending, it's really hard to get lost. It's easy to get confused with a book as you write it. But if you always know where you're going, you're going to get there. And I've argued with Stephen King many times about how you're supposed to do this, and he has his way and I have mine. But I believe in the outline and the research, the planning, and that leads to the plotting, which leads to the page turning. You've got to be able to see how you can pace a story to keep your reader thoroughly hooked, and that's something that I spend a lot of time on.
How do you feel like your writing has changed over the years? Like, do you feel like you are a different writer than you were in your early days? What do you think you've gotten better at or worse at, or how have you changed?
It's impossible to judge yourself. If there's been a change in the style, it was not intentional. I start every book with the belief and with the goal that this is going to be the best book I've ever written. And so I have that motivation. So again, I'm not aware of any changes. What I have changed, and this happened to me about 15 years ago when I wrote a book called The Innocent Man, my only nonfiction book. That book took me into the world of wrongful convictions, and I began seeing all of the problems we have with our criminal justice system. As a lawyer, former lawyer, that's the world I live in. Lawyers, trials, lawsuits, appeals, courts, things like that. That's where my interests are. And we have a lot of problems in our system. And these problems lead to wrongful convictions. They lead to mass incarceration. They lead to sentencing disparities, all these problems that we're seeing coming to the surface now, many of them are caused by injustice in our system. And from that point on, I've written more about the serious issues in the context of a novel, something fictional, but to try to bring awareness to some of these problems and also to explore these problems and try to provide answers. So I've done that. That has changed over the years. I still do that. I did it the last couple of books. I'm writing a legal thriller now that doesn't really explore any serious issue. It's just more entertainment. So there have been some changes, but as far as actually writing, I have not deliberately changed anything.
We're visiting with John Grisham, the best-selling author. He's got a new novel out called Sully. You can check that out. It's on sale now, right? I think it came out a couple days ago.
It's on sale everywhere, online, good bookstores. You can find the book everywhere.
You know, we just had Matthew McConaughey on recently a few weeks ago, and that got me thinking about your movies. Do you have a favorite movie that was made out of one of your books, whether it's A Time to Kill or The Firm or Pelican Brief? Do you have a favorite movie?
You know, I've been very lucky with Hollywood. I've had 10 books adapted to film. 8 feature films, 1 documentary, and 1 TV movie, and they were all enjoyable to watch. I don't get involved in the filmmaking. I sell the film rights to people who are with good track records and people who I admire for what they've made, and get out of the way. I don't get in the middle of it. It's hard to pick a favorite movie. The Rainmaker was directed by Francis Ford Coppola. And starring a young Matt Damon, Danny DeVito, John Voight, Claire Danes. It was a wonderful film. It probably was the most faithful to the novel as all any of the movies. Coppola, for some reason, wanted me to hang out on the set, which is terribly boring. It sounds romantic, but it's not. And because he loves writers, and he wanted me there all the time, and I went some. He wanted me there to drink cappuccino with. That was his main thing. He wanted a buddy to drink with. And so I hung out on the set of Rainmaker, and I love the movie. It was a very, very good film, and that's probably my favorite.
So you didn't hang out on the set of Time to Kill and have Matthew McConaughey pressure you into smoking pot with him or anything?
We smoked cigars. And I did go to the set several times with A Time to Kill. They filmed it in Mississippi and when it was hot, and it was fun to go down. And, crazy about Matthew, but Samuel Jackson and Oliver Platt and Kiefer Sutherland and Donald Sutherland. It was a wonderful cast. And, I usually go to the set and a few times and meet the people who are making the movie and take the kids and all that. I don't get caught up in the filmmaking.
Well, John, we appreciate you taking time to speak with us today. It's an honor to talk with you.
The pleasure is mine. Good luck to you guys.
Okay, thanks. That's John Grisham, author of the new novel, Sully. Ooh, we just cut
John,
him off.
John, one other thing.
No, George, he's already gone.
You know, I was going to ask him what that's like. He did his undergrad at Mississippi State, and obviously he has ties to Ole Miss for law. How does that work?
Yeah, being that they're such rivals, in-state rivals there. I know, man. Growing up in Mississippi, I mean,
that's like A&M, Texas.
Yes, they were Bulldogs and they were Rebels.
Mm-hmm. I liked his accent.
Yeah,
I love that accent.
That's
too.
One of my favorite accents.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of Gaylord Perry in there.
A little bit of that.
That SEC accent.
For real. I want to say he sold over 350 million books.
Wow.
Oh, my.
That's more than Dr. Carlton Maxwell.
Yeah.
Plus the movie rights.
And he was a lawyer. Okay. Yeah. And he just decided that he wanted to try to write a book, and that's when he wrote A Time to Kill, which was his first book, and it didn't sell anything. And then he wrote, I guess it was The Firm, was the next one he wrote. And then that one was bought, even before the book was bought, the movie rights were bought, and then that's what sent him into the stratosphere.
How do you have that many great stories in your head?
And he writes one every year.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That was awesome. Great interview.
Yeah, great job.
That's The Corner, 9:30 on The Ticket. Coming up next, David Moore joins us. It's The Ranch Report. Let's talk about the newest Dallas Cowboy, Micah Parsons.
John, what did you think of
the Dallas Stars?